Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening. And before we do anything else, I want to welcome a new affiliate, KMMS in Bozeman, Montana. And if you're listening to us on station KMMS in Bozeman, please give George Carter a call and let him know if you like the program. And they might be joining us on a regular basis. They're listening in tonight live up in Bozeman, Montana. So good evening, Bozeman. And so, before we go into our guest tonight, we've got to do an update. We're going to talk a little bit about it, the first segment of the program with Stan Friedman. Regarding the Roswell film, there's a lot of controversy circulating around the UFO community about a film that allegedly shows the autopsies or the post-autopsies of the alien beings that were allegedly recovered at the Roswell crash. My first guest tonight is Stan Friedman. He has lectured at over 600 universities across the country and Canada and is a lecturer on the UFO subject. His title of his program is called UFOs Are Real. And he's going to tell us a little bit about that film, which apparently he has sources who have seen this film, or at least parts of it, and we're going to get the story on that. So, good evening, Stan, and welcome to the program.
Good evening. Incidentally, my lecture is Flying Saucers Are Real, not UFOs Are Real. That's a movie I worked on, but I should make a distinction here. I'm interested in flying saucers. All flying saucers are UFOs. Very few UFOs are flying saucers. Like all great-grandmothers are women, but certainly not all women are great-grandmothers.
Very good.
So I want to focus on the exciting ones, the interesting ones.
Okay. Now, let's hear about the Roswell film. It's an alleged 16-millimeter footage.
Yeah, you know, it's a crazy story. I'm a scientist accustomed to dealing with facts and data, and boy, this has been one of the slipperiest stories around. Last January 13th, Friday the 13th, an ill omen indeed, Reg Presley, a well-known English musician, rock star, used to be a member of the Troggs, out of the blue, sort of, announced on a talk show over there that he was aware of 15 reels of 10 minutes each of film taken out on the debris field and of the autopsies of aliens, all connected with Roswell. This is a shocking story on a BBC morning talk show. I got a call the next day from somebody I'd met years ago in England, and I happen to have been working with an agent who has booked me for a lecture in England, and he was in the music business as well, so I got back to him. And on Monday, I was talking to Reg Presley by phone. And on the next day, I was talking to Ray Santilli, the owner of this supposed footage. And in talking to Santilli, a lot of questions were in my head. The claim was that he had been in the States looking for some special, previously unshown footage of Elvis Presley. Found this old cameraman, 82 years old, who supposedly had shot quite a bit of footage of Presley way back when. And they admired the footage. Santilli was with somebody else. And he says, supposedly, well, gee, if you think that's great, you ought to see this other stuff. And he's got these 15 reels of film. Now, the numbers keep changing, but let's stick with 15, at least for the moment. And supposedly he was paid $100,000 in cash, and the only reason he sold it at this time is his granddaughter was getting married, and he wanted to give her a gift. Now, Santilli is bragging to me he's been researching this for well over a year. They've got all kinds of paperwork. the cameraman is who he says he was. And I said, well, gee, you know, it sounds very exciting. I'd sure like to look at it. I'm the original investigator on Roswell. Now, one interesting thing, he said he'd never heard of me, and when I was doing a television show a couple months later, and then the guy says, gee, Stan, I only spent 3 hours, and I was running across you all over the place. But, you know, if he was really researching. Anyway, one of the things, I said, well, I'd like to see the footage. I've got the base yearbook. There should be a lot of stuff in it that we can verify. Famous persons, military guys with name tags, ranks, you know, all kinds of detail. It's a research source. And, we've worked real hard on it, and we've been able to establish that the cameraman is who he says he was and is and was in the place he says he was. And I said, well, there ought to be people that are recognizable in it. He said, oh, yes, how's Harry Truman? And I said, well, yeah, that's a good start. And he said, we were able to show that Truman was indeed in Dallas. I'd never heard of Dallas as a site for autopsies or wreckage or anything. The wreckage had gone through Fort Worth, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said, we've checked and we've proven that he was indeed in Dallas when he says he was, when the cameraman says he was. And I said, oh, you checked with the Truman Library? And he says, yes. And there were a lot of other details with nothing to back it up. He said that they had dated the film back to the right time frame from the emulsion. And so I arranged for my agent. This is like Tuesday. I'm talking to Santilli, mid-January. My agent makes an appointment with him for Friday. And Santilli canceled. The next Wednesday, and Santilli canceled. And sort of flimsy last-minute stuff. Anyway, finally, there's a lot of looking around, and I'm talking to a lot of people and a lot of other researchers in the States, Kent Jeffrey and Paul Davids, who did the Showtime movie. All were volunteering to look at the stuff, and Ken is a pilot with Delta International, so he could get over there, you know, in an instant kind of thing. And Santilli wasn't having anything of anybody. And then it really hit the fan in March when Philip Mantle, who's head of the British UFO Research Association, director of research, I guess, there was an article in the newspaper saying that he was announcing that Santilli had agreed to show the footage at their conference in August of this year. And the article certainly slanted it along the lines that made it sound like Mantle was buying it hook, line, and sinker. And so there was a big furor in England, not much here in the regular media, but there was over there. And Central Television brought me over to do a program with some noisy negativists. And Mantle was there and several other English ufologists whom I'd met before. And we all talked before and were cooperating afterward. Did you hear that word, cooperation?
Mm-hmm.
It's a rare one in ufology these days, it seems. And I took on the nasty, noisy negativist, an astronomer who obviously knew nothing about the subject, and did five other interviews. And it was clear Mantle at least had been misquoted. He hadn't made the claims. Anyway, things are still shuffling around out there. And meanwhile, I had checked with the Truman Library, which I've spent weeks at. I've been to 15 archives. This is just one of many. But I know people there, and they checked for me. And Truman, as far as they're concerned, wasn't in Dallas, wasn't in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
In now it's June, July, August, September, October.
So your take on this, Stan, is that it's probably a hoax?
Well, yeah, especially after talking to people who were at the official showing, which also got postponed, but did take place finally on May the, what was it, the 4th, a week ago Friday. And there were about 60 people there. I talked to half a dozen people who were there. And fortunately, my agent took a challenge that I'd submitted 2 days earlier to Santilli. I asked for a lot of stuff. I pointed out that, look, four months of great public relations, but not one bit of evidence. At the very minimum, you should provide the, you know, the make and model of the camera, the type of film, evidence in the form of a written report from Kodak, which he said had dated the stuff, establishing that, some military orders from the cameraman, his discharge papers.
Just anything that would help substantiate it.
Yeah, how about a receipt for the $100,000? Now, would you believe that when I saw Santilli in person a month ago, when I was in England, and I asked about the receipt, well, he didn't give him one. It was cash. Can you imagine anybody giving $100,000
no.
for, you know? And he said that the cameraman's 82. His wife is equally old, and she's the dominant one, but she doesn't know about this.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. And so there are a whole bunch of other things. And I said either put up or shut up. Well, my agent distributed my challenge at the conference, so it got a lot of attention, I guess. They showed, it was crazy. They showed, depending on who you listen to, 15 or 20 minutes of this supposed autopsy. No preliminary statement, no questions to be answered later, no nothing. Now, claims have been made that he rejected an offer for $1.8 million. He's apparently trying to sell rights by region, you know, Italy and Germany and France and so forth. It seems to me, from the people who described it, that it was a crummy science fiction film. And the Italians were kind of enthusiastic. I talked to a couple of them, and but when I tried to pin them down on evidence, all they could say, well, Ray said that, and then it's the cameraman said. And I said, no, you mean Ray says the cameraman said. Well, yes, there's nothing.
Do you have any theory as to how this originates? Is it just somebody trying to make money, or is this...
I think it's somebody trying to make money. I think somebody found some footage from an old science fiction film. The doctors are in spacesuits, and Santilli keeps bringing in new things. Now he says the autopsy was done by Dr. Bronk, and he handed out at this meeting with an aptly titled covered letterhead of International Exploitation Management. How's that for a name? Handed out copies of the MJ-12 documents with three false claims on them. I think Santilli, he doesn't have a good reputation. I've done a lot of checking. His company is actually in receivership, which makes it a little harder to believe that he could come up with $100,000. I mean, even with a lower dollar, you know, that's still a lot of money.
Sure, sure.
So I think that the timing may be related. This is a little strange, but, you know, the Showtime movie Roswell?
Right.
This past month, it went on the stands as a video. Didn't play on television over there. And there was a sheet put out, and I'm looking at a copy of it here. Roswell, all-star cast, catalog number, and PolyGram. You know, they're big in Hollywood type.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got selling points. Top quality sci-fi based on fact, the best of both worlds. PR coverage and fake UFO sightings to stir up the press. Now, what the heck does that mean, you know? And promotional tie-in with the British UFO Research Association. So this is a time when Roswell certainly will get more attention. You know, the GAO report is due out soon.
Yeah.
The Air Force is taking another shot at it. They're going to include a lot of those enclosures and other things, as if the first one wasn't monstrous enough, loaded with misrepresentation, disinformation, false claims, and I say that sort of personally because they've got some wrong information about me in there. So anybody with the movie and all this stuff, it's a great time for a guy to make a buck.
Well, listen, Stan, I got about 30 seconds to wrap this up. I want to have you back for a whole hour. We'll talk about this some more and tie that into the GAO investigation that's going to come out here pretty soon. Give information real quick about your new CD-ROM.
Yeah, I've got a new loaded with information, audios, videos, stereos, text, hypertext, everything you can imagine. It's called UFOs, The Real Story, and it's a modest $39.95 plus shipping. If people want information about that and all other scientific aspects of UFOs, send me a self-addressed stamped number 10 envelope, Stan Friedman, Post Office Box 958, Houlton, H-O-U-L-T-O-N, Maine, M-E-0-4-7-3-0-0-9-5-8. Self-addressed stamped envelope. They'll find out about the CD-ROM and science and UFOs.
Stan, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll have you back soon to talk about this a little bit more in depth, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right. Oh.
Okay,
bye-bye.
We're going to move to our next guest, which will be Bob Teets. We're going to talk about West Virginia UFOs, close encounters in the Mountain State. So please stay tuned. We'll be back after this message. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Give us a call. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
It's been said, the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers, investigators, and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions, valuable resources, and best of all, an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, citing reports, and much more, available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at Area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-429-2654.
October 1987. A child is lost in a well. No country comes to the aid of a child the way we do. Yet today, many children are lost. Lost in an education system unable to prepare them for a competitive world. Imagine if the effort that saved that child went into keeping the promise that every child gets the best education. Call 1-800-96-PROMISE for information on changing the schools in your community. A message from the Education Excellence Partnership and the Ad Council.
Well, I was a little nervous first time I went into an elementary school classroom as a junior achievement volunteer. But when I saw how eager the kids were, I knew it was going to be all right. They're so thrilled you're there.
If you've ever wondered what you can do to help kids expand their horizons, find out about our new elementary school volunteer program. Call 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. That's 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. A public service message brought to you by Junior Achievement and the Ad Council.
Some of the things you'll hear on this program are simply unbelievable. But what if they're for real? Keep an open mind and stay tuned to the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back. You know, it was an interesting segment we just did about that footage, and I've been very skeptical of it myself for quite some time. And of course, the controversy has really ramped up on the computer networks, the discussion about that, and I've seen a lot of misinformation flying around and a lot of assumption about what it does or what that film shows. It really doesn't show anything from what I understand. It doesn't show anything significant, and the pictures are very, very blurry. So I guess we're going to see what happens with that. We'll have Stan back to talk about that on a future edition of the program. Also wanted to remind you that the next issue or the issue of Continuum that we've been talking about is now out. And if you haven't got your subscription in, you might want to do it. It's a very, very interesting issue, 32 pages. It's packed with information. We've got an article in there, N Equals One by Dr. Greg Wheeler. It's a treatise on the sad state of ufology today. And we've been talking about that just like the program last week. We've got a column that has sighting reports in it from around the world, My Cap News by Brian Wood. And, of course, I wrote an article called Spooky Ufology, and we're going to talk about that in a future edition of the program. There's a lot more in here. If you haven't got your subscription, it's $18 for a year, and you can send it to Continuum Magazine, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034-0172. And you'll be able to get in there. It's published quarterly, and it's a very interesting magazine, and it's a good value. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get with our guest, Bob Teets. He is the author of a book called West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain States. It's an interesting book, and talks about some interesting sighting reports over the years that have happened in the mountains in the area of in West Virginia. And I think you'll find Bob's take on this a very interesting angle. So, stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this break.
To the Paranet UFO Continuum.
Different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. At every issue, it gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Subscribe now and get a free catalog of UFO news articles, files, documents, sighting reports, and much more available from Paranet, the world's foremost electronic network of the paranormal. The catalog is a $5 value, but it's free with your $18 one-year subscription to Continuum. You'll also get $15 off your first catalog order of $20 or more, available by print, electronically, or by fax, with a small additional fee. Continuum is also available by fax. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-387-2001. That's 800-387-2001 for Continuum.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
You're listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009 is our call-in talk line. My guest is a former journalist who has documented more than 150 UFO cases based on eyewitness accounts from West Virginians of all walks of life and from every area of the state. Sometimes with humor, often with fear, these people recount in their own words the mystery and horror, pathos and honor and glory and tears they experienced when they came face to face with an enigmatic phenomena as old as time and as new as today's headlines. The book is West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain States, and it's a chronicle of people who did not ask to see, but who now need to know what's it about. And the author is on the program with us tonight, Bob Teets. Welcome, Bob.
Hi, thanks.
Thank you for being on the program.
Sure.
What led up to the publication of this book?
Well, for the last 20 months or so, I was a consultant to the Human Potential Foundation. And the foundation, as it was portrayed to me, was designed to look into areas of new science. And, you know, that can encompass quite a bit. And as we continued to work, the mission became more and more to investigate the UFO phenomenon. And my background is as a journalist, as was a colleague of mine with whom I worked while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for around 20 months, we crisscrossed the United States and attended UFO conferences and otherwise delved into this fascinating area. At one point, I even lived with a family for a while of a multiple abductee out in Nebraska, whose experience included, so he said, 1,500 or 2,000 abduction experiences over his 55 years of life. So after becoming that involved in the phenomenon, I live in West Virginia, so I thought, well, I've been all over the United States, and still I don't know really if people right here in my own home state had any experiences. So last July I put out a press release and to former press colleagues and asked them to run the release in their papers or on radio or whatever, and asking West Virginians if indeed they'd had any unusual experiences having to do with UFOs or related items. And that was in July, and by the end of August, I had at least 150 UFO cases.
Quite a few responses.
Oh, my. And what's even more amazing to me, the book came out then in right about Christmas time, so it's just been out 4 months. And since that time, now I have about 650 people in the state who have told me their stories.
Jeez, 650.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Now, the book itself is kind of basically it's written kind of in a folksy way, but I think the important thing is the message that comes across in it. Now, kind of give us a synopsis of what the book is about and what it's, you know, what's the book about.
Okay, well, while I was with the foundation, we had to put some sort of framework around this phenomenon because people would report all sorts of unusual and some would say bizarre or, you know, whatever activities or experiences. And to try to grasp the enormity of the phenomenon, we had to come up with a framework. And my colleague, Dick Farley, produced what is called the UFO Matrix of Beliefs. And essentially what that boils down to is, you know, if you have five people and they all see something unusual at the same time, the first person may say, well, I don't know what that was, but obviously there's nothing like this on Earth, so I think it was from some other planet. It had to be a craft with some beings in it from some other planet or star system or whatever. The person standing right beside that one may say, no, I just had such a wonderful feeling inside of me. I've never had a feeling like that. I think it was an angel, maybe a messenger of the Lord. And the person standing next to that one may say, well, you know, it just scared the bejeebies out of me. I think it was some kind of a demon or something. The next person may say, oh, I don't know. It was kind of, you know, it wasn't there for a minute, and then it was, and then it looked like it disappeared in a hole in the sky or something. It's like it wasn't even in this dimension. I don't even know if it was solid or not. Then the person standing next to him would say, I've heard the government has stuff that can make you see whatever they want you to see. So, essentially, that's what the Matrix lays out as a sort of a framework around which to try to, you know, get a handle on this phenomenon. And lo and behold, out of the now 650 or thereabouts people I've talked in West Virginia, and as well as maybe the other 400 or 500 I've talked with across the country, indeed, those stories and the literature that's available out there, the books and whatever, pretty much can fit into one of those categories, even though we're not really into categorizing things as much as trying to get some workable handle on this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, everyone's so confused when they first get into UFO research.
Now, the stories that I've seen in the book are basically your typical run-of-the-mill stories, you know, of seeing lights in the sky, like you just mentioned, some of them disappearing and appearing mysteriously, entity encounters and that type of thing. Basically, these people in the West Virginia is not without sighting reports that go back many years. Is that correct?
Oh my! Since the beginning. And as recent as, actually, I just got a call yesterday, an update. There is a gentleman here in West Virginia who has what he purports to be a photograph of a UFO that he took in March. And I finally tracked him down and interviewed him a couple of days ago. And then on the heels of that, I got another call yesterday of another sighting.
Now, is West Virginia where the Flatwoods Monster from the, I believe it was the 50s, wasn't it?
Yes, 1952, which was actually 2 months after the big flap over in Washington, D.C., in which UFOs broke airspace over the White House. And some researchers, including myself, think that maybe those events are interconnected.
Okay. All right, we're going to talk about the lights of Nephkin Hill and harvest time in Elk Garden when we come back. My guest is Bob Teets. He's the author of West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State. It's a chronicle of people who did not ask to see, but who are now who now need to know what it's about. We're going to talk again, like I said, about the harvest time in Elk Garden and the lights of Nephkin Hill when we return. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Give us a call. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or 2 for $12, or 4 for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe, at 1-800-UFO-6381.
An increase in immigration to the United States.
A report issued today states that newly arrived immigrants...
It seems like every day there's another news story about refugees or immigrants. But beyond the headlines, there are things about immigration that you as an employer need to know. People who are already in the United States, who already have a legal right to work in this country, are being discriminated against by employers who don't know the law. Did you know that in almost all cases it is illegal to require U.S. citizenship? And it is also illegal to demand to see specific documents, like a green card, or not accept other papers that can prove a right to work. Take time to learn the law. It's easy, and it can save your business from facing severe penalties. Call the Office of Special Counsel at 1-800-255-8155. 1-800-255-8155. And next time you do any hiring, look at the facts, not at the faces.
Stay in touch with the latest on the growing UFO phenomena by fax, computer network, and this program, the Paranet UFO Continuum. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back. My guest, Bob Teets, author of the West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters of the Mountain State. And before the end of the program tonight, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy directly from Bob. Again, it's a very interesting book. I want to talk about the harvest time in Elk Garden and the lights of Nefkin Hill, because I find that to be quite fascinating from the standpoint that I have heard this type of report before. So fill us in on what the harvest time in Elk Garden means.
Okay. Well, a while ago you said this was, you know, kind of a book of typical stories, but the I would beg to differ with you. There are a lot of stories that that I found in my own experience as a journalist, at least looking into this. Pretty fascinating and unique, and I think this case at Nefkin Hill unfolded over the space of about a 15-year period in which people in this very small town in West Virginia repeatedly saw strange lights and crafts over a particular location on Nefkin Hill, and the most gripping story that I heard, people were pretty reluctant to talk about this, but a Methodist minister and the son of the former mayor of the town told me this story in which this Methodist minister had officiated over an interment one day, one Sunday, in back in the 60s. And that evening, the mayor and his son came over and said, "Let's go up on the hill and see if we can see any of those lights that people keep talking about." So they went up and sort of had a vigil there for several hours, and then all of a sudden they saw lights coming up a ravine, and one of the guys described it. Said it looked like a turtle with headlights on it. And this craft made its way up this ravine and then hovered over a cemetery, and then suddenly shined a light, a very bright light, down on this fresh grave that this minister had officiated over that afternoon. And it was just, you could hear in their voices as they told the story, just the awe and wonderment of what they had seen. And they were, of course, younger then, and they both took off running down the hill. The mayor was a little too old to be running, and but the two younger guys ran down the hill, the minister and this other fella, And by the time they reached the cemetery, the light just sort of, and they described it as winking out, just like you'd turned off a light, an overhead light or whatever. So, when you look at a case like this, it gets into many, many areas. People with out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences often report seeing a bright light of some sort, and they feel compelled to go to this light. And so you're crossing over into many other areas that are equally fascinating.
Well, see, I wasn't putting down your book at all. I was actually getting to the point of what I was meaning by the fact that the message was what was interesting. You know, the thing is that your stories that you've heard from these people do have some interesting, unique characteristics to them. But what is your, you know, what was the conclusion, or what was the, I can't say even conclusion, but basically, the last chapter, or the last, next to the last chapter, Think of All the Possibilities, I found was probably the message in the book, and I thought it was very interesting. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, after having read 300 or 400 books in this field and interviewed maybe 1,000 percipients and gone to the conferences and sort of done the journalistic thing to it, it really came down to me to look at this book as a way to maybe address some of my own personal issues. You can't get into this research for long until you're confronting your own fixed belief system. So that chapter really is an attempt on my part, I think, to figure out where I stand and what I think about this as a journalist. And when I put my opinion in there, I label it as such. That's just a habit. But I really began to address what I think is some of the core issues in this phenomenon. And not all of them are pleasant. And I certainly take issue with a lot of the researchers who are out there with a much higher profile, people like Dr. John Mack of Harvard. I simply cannot buy into to Dr. Mack's take on the field as being particularly wrapped with an ecological message from these entities to save the planet. And with that message rides on the heels of the trauma that they inflict on people. And Dr. Mack says, well, there is a transcendence there. And that is not to dispute. Those people who have managed to integrate or to move beyond some of the more traumatic experiences they've had. But when you bring in the ecological message, I really don't believe that we need entities or beings from somewhere else to tell us that we have a problem on Earth with our ecology, and that we need to straighten up the planet.
I have to agree with you. I think it helps to circumvent our responsibility.
Yes, yes. And, if these entities are here to indeed help us, one wonders, you know, they keep saying clean up the planet, but where's the help? What's the point? We're not so stupid that we can't figure out we have a problem to begin with. So really, to me, Dr. Mack also takes on issues that are near and dear to me as an Appalachian. I have a belief system such as it is, and it's no use to get into that, but the fact is that he calls my belief system into question, and I know Dr. Mack. I've spent a lot of time with him. He's a wonderful man to listen to as he can get into a lot of wonderful areas, and has a brilliant mind. But on this particular topic, I believe that everyone is entitled to an opinion, and certainly Dr. Mack is, but I am as well.
Okay, now, what is that opinion? Are we dealing with some type of spiritual phenomena, and is it dangerous?
Well, I think a large portion of this phenomena quickly goes into esoteric areas and metaphysical areas. And I have felt compelled during my tenure and looking into this to go into those areas because I think therein lies perhaps my greatest fears. And so the way I try to handle fear is to look it in the eye and treat it as if it were a wolf sitting across a campfire from me. And we can look at each other and come to some understanding that perhaps sometime, someplace, it will come down to a struggle between us. But try to build some respect for this opponent.
Okay,
and,
Bob, I need to interrupt you. Hold that thought, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back after this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back.
Many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. At every issue, it gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Subscribe now and get a free catalog of UFO news articles, files, documents, sighting reports, and much more available from Paranet, the world's foremost electronic network of the paranormal. The catalog is a $5 value, but it's free with your $18 one-year subscription to Continuum. You'll also get $15 off your first catalog order of $20 or more, available by print, electronically, or by fax, with a small additional fee. Continuum is also available by fax. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-387-2001. That's 800-387-2001 for Continuum.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours, free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at area 303-669-1800.
This is the Paranet UFO Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network dealing with the UFO phenomena, Call us at area 303-429-2654 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back, my guest, Bob Teets, author of West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain States. What we're going to do is, we're out of time again, as usual. An hour just isn't enough time. And I think that this particular subject is fascinating, and this book is fascinating enough. I'd like to ask Bob to come back next week, and we can get into this a lot more in depth, because there is a lot more to this story that has not come out yet, and we want to talk about that a little more in depth. Are you agreeable to that, Bob?
Yes, indeed. I sure am.
Okay. In the meantime, why don't you give out your address or your phone number as to how persons can get in contact with you to get a copy of this book?
Okay. For those listening, I have an 800 number here. You can grab up a pencil, and I'll repeat it twice. The number is 1-800-570-5951. And order it tomorrow, and you can have the book and probably have it read by the time the next show comes on. You can call up with some questions. That number, one more time, 800-570-5951.
And what's the cost of the book?
$14.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling.
Okay, and real quick, this matrix of UFO beliefs, this thing has a history. Can you talk about that real quick, or should we save that for next week?
Well, that's probably better discussed next week, but there's a copy of the matrix in the book for
okay.
those people who are interested.
Right, and I think again, there's a lot more to this story that we haven't covered yet. So be sure and stay tuned next week, where my guest will be Bob Teets, author of West Virginia UFOs: Close Encounters in the Mountain States. So be sure and stay tuned for that, and we'll have Bob back next week. And Bob, thank you for appearing on the program this evening.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Right. Okay, now, next week, as I said, we'll have Bob Teets back. He's going to talk a little bit more about the West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain States. And once again, if you haven't got your subscription in for Continuum, again, it's $18. It's published quarterly, and you can get your copy by sending $18 to Continuum Magazine, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034-0172. And if you want to reach me, you can call me at 1-800-387-2001. That's our sighting hotline, 1-800-387-2001. I want to thank our producers, Brian Wood, Greg Barman, and Daryl Bear, and, of course, the crew down at Poor Joe's at 970 Lincoln Street, like our second office. We'll see you there. We'll see you next week. Until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.